In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Lesson 6. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared before him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23.
Lesson 7, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. This is a familiar passage. We've heard it read at Christmas services like this one. We've seen it printed on Christmas cards. We've sung hymns based on this text like "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" or "Angels We Have Heard on High." But there's so much going on here in this text, if we'll just scratch the surface and take note of some of the details that God reveals to us in this brief passage. If indeed this birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is indeed the birth of the eternally existent Son of God, and it is, then what's impossible for us to wrap our minds around isn't just that when God took on human flesh and dwelt among us, he didn't come in a majestic way. He wasn't born into a wealthy family in a palace to over-the-top fanfare. Everything about this story is not the way we would expect it. We'd expect that if indeed God was going to come to earth, that he would come with great fanfare that started the moment he arrived with trumpets and fireworks. But that's not what we've got. We've got a poor couple far from home, giving birth alone in a stable. That wasn't an accident. That wasn't just bad planning on Mary and Joseph's part. That was God's foreordained plan. Humble origins, a teenage girl. A humble birthplace, a backwater town. Bethlehem was the Jesseville of that region. A humble birthing suite, a barn. a humble bassinet, a rough feeding trough. I'm afraid that in our nativity sets and our love for Pottery Barn, Hobby Lobby, rustic decor, we've sort of romanticized the location of Christ's birth, but this was no place to birth a baby. But the truth is that nothing happened for Mary the way that she likely would have expected it or hoped. From the day that that angel visited her and told her what the next 9 months would entail, to the night she went into labor and laid her child in a feeding trough, is this how God operates? She has to be thinking, surely not. But maybe God the Father, who is orchestrating everything, is showing us something about himself, if we'll only take the time to look. But I'm getting ahead of myself. As they used to say in the old westerns, meanwhile back at the ranch, Luke similarly says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Apparently, while Mary and Joseph are struggling with the logistics of giving care to this newborn baby in a barn, there are some folks in the region who are made aware of Christ's birth. They aren't midwives or nurses. They aren't experienced mothers who can swoop in and help Mary and Joseph expertly care for this child. No, they're shepherds. And again, I think we've romanticized shepherds through our Precious Moments figurines and our kids with bath towels on their heads in Christmas plays. Shepherds weren't cute. They weren't someone who anyone would be hoping would show up in this situation. Shepherds were dirty, smelly, coarse men who slept outdoors among the animals. They were rough stock. But they are who God is going to dispatch to go and visit the Christ child. Just like an angel appeared to Mary to announce her pregnancy 9 months earlier, and just like an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to tell him not to sever his engagement to Mary, an angel is going to appear to these sleepy shepherds. In fact, an army of them, the heavenly host, that means a heavenly army of angels, is going to appear to these sleepy shepherds to let them know what has happened in their very neck of the woods. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Just about every time an angel appears to someone in the Bible, the first thing that the angel always has to say is, fear not. Again, this shows us how much Precious Moments figurines have softened the way we think of angels. No one in the Bible ever sees an angel and responds, oh, how adorable, an angel. Aw. These hardened, weathered farmhands who sleep outside and fight off wild animals, when they are met with the appearance of an angel, they are filled with great fear. The original Greek captures better the word, which is basically megaphobic, or they were crazy scared, would be the way we might render that. And the angel's message to them is not just that a generic Savior has been born, but that their Savior has been born. Unto you has been born a Savior. And not only are they told that this Savior has been born, they are told where he may be found. And told, go find him. He's in a manger. This will be a sign to you. You will find him. Maybe you've seen first-time parents of newborns post on Facebook their very strict rules that they intend to enforce on who's allowed to come and see the baby. This is a thing recently. This includes you grandparents. How dare you show up and not respect our privacy, these millennials will say. Mary and Joseph apparently failed to publish something like that on their social media profile. And so Mary and Joseph get some unexpected visitors from these nearby shepherds who make their way there, no doubt, with a herd of sheep in tow that they are keeping watch over. They're not going to abandon them. Not only did these rough men traipse across the countryside with their sheep to introduce themselves, they did it quickly, with great haste, the text tells us. Beloved, these men are stirred from the quiet of their dark night by an announcement that their Savior has been born, and they make great haste to leave where they are and to go see him. He's in the same region. He's not far from where you are, the angels make clear to them. What if these shepherds had said, you know, I know the angels said that the Savior is in a manger and wrapped in swaddling cloths, but I feel closer to God right here in this field with my sheep. That's how I prefer to worship, just enjoying the great outdoors. I'm offended by the notion that I've got to go somewhere. I mean, isn't God everywhere? Beloved, in a general sense, God is everywhere, but from Genesis to Revelation, God is always about the business of telling his people where he may be found. Earlier tonight, we saw God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve hiding from God. The name Emmanuel means God with us. God never lets his omnipresence, the fact that he is everywhere, he never lets his omnipresence mean that we need not respond to go to him where he tells us he may be found. He was in this rough feeding trough in a barn outside of town. He was hanging on a rough wooden cross, stripped naked and dying outside of Jerusalem. He was again wrapped in the swaddling cloths of the grave in a tomb for 3 days. He was present with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, teaching them, eating with them, and reminding them that all the scripture is about himself. He ascended into heaven, and we are told that he is now seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, ruling and reigning, making his enemies his footstool. But that's not the only place where he may be found. The Bible also tells us that he is present when his people, the church, are gathered. As his church goes about the business of baptizing and teaching, he is present with them. That's what he says in the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. As the church, which is Christ's body, does what Christ commissioned it to do, Christ is there in the assembly of the saints, comforting and convicting. In the waters of baptism, marking out his own. In the preaching of the word, which he uses to create faith in the hearts of its hearers. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And in the Lord's Supper, feeding and strengthening. And he uses ordinary means of bread and wine to feed his sheep. God is with his church. His birth was attended by shepherds, perhaps because he himself is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And because he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He was laid in a feeding trough because he says he is the bread that has come down from heaven. This Christmas may we reflect not only on the unassuming way in which Christ came to be present 2,000 years ago, let us also reflect on the way in which he tells us he is about the business of showing us where he may now be found. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent your Son, born of a virgin, to live the life we have not lived, to die the death that we deserve, that on the cross he was treated the way we deserve to be treated for all eternity, so that all who confess that and believe that can receive a treatment for all eternity that no one deserves but Jesus. Would you write that eternal truth on the fleshy tablets of our heart? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Honor and mercy, my own, God. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But
To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-14.
Thank you so much for coming and worshiping with us. We hope this has been an encouragement to you and prepared your hearts to celebrate Christmas tomorrow. Please, if you have to leave, leave. But if you want to stick around, we've got cake and cookies and refreshments out there. So stick around for a few minutes. Tomorrow is Sunday, so we'll be having church tomorrow at 11 a.m. And we'd love for you to join us for that as well. Would you stand for the benediction? And then as you walk out, there's a bucket right there by the door. You can drop your candle in. So would you lift your eyes and receive this benediction? May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole soul and whole spirit and whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Merry Christmas. Hey, thanks so much, man. Man, how are you? Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming. Yeah. Glad you came. Yeah. Oh, good. Thanks. Real simple. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Thank you, brother. Good to see you, man.
Good to be here.
Thanks for bringing him. Yeah. I'm just teasing you. I'm so glad you did. You've got good taste. You've got good taste. There is a lot to choose from, yeah. Thank you so much for reading. Good to see you again. Thank y'all for coming. Merry Christmas. Hey, how are you? Hey, buddy. Good to see y'all. Merry Christmas. Let me get right here.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have a great one.
You too. Okay, put them in that bucket over there. Merry Christmas. Okay, you're going. Don't go in there right now. People are walking out. Thank y'all for coming tonight. Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Well, thank you. Yes.
The two of us. They're all.
Well, that's fine.
On
oh, you're very kind. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming. That's okay. That's okay. We'll take you as much as we can get. Yeah.
I know. We will be down here.
Master Obi, good to see you. Go get some cake and cookies. Merry Christmas. Good to have you all. Hey, thank you for coming tonight. Good to have you. Hey, buddy, move back because everybody's. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Good to see you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming.
Great service.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was real simple. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Good to see you. Merry Christmas. Hey, buddy. You're trying to walk past everybody. You're walking upstream. Good to see you, man. Merry Christmas. I know. Our candle cup runneth over. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming tonight.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming.
Of course. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Hey, Rachel, good to see you. Hey, Vivian, good to see you.
Giving Merry Christmas. Around.
No, they're in there, but okay. Thank you. I'll put it in there.
The microphone's still on, by the way.
Thank you.